When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors, as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I see the president any minute is going to campaign for Darlene Graham in South Carolina. If I were the president and the person I was going to campaign for said what she said in that debate this week, I'd cancel the trip. I'd cancel the trip. There are certain things that I think are disqualifying if you're running for the United States Senate. It's drive time. It's Jason, hour three. Glad to have you with us on this Friday. Big crowd in Myrtle Beach. Beautiful, by the way. Man, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I love South Carolina. Great state. Great people. Lots of nepotism. Lindsey Graham recently died. The governor of South Carolina appointed his sister to fulfill the rest of his term. Darlene Graham, during a debate this week, was asked a foreign policy question because, you know, the same thing is going to happen to Michelle, I'm fighting fraud in Minnesota. Oh, wait, I'm running for the Senate, not for governor. Michelle Tafoya is going to be asked these foreign policy questions as well. There is a question all of us face when we analyze candidates. If you're analyzing candidates outside the rubric of I vote for all Republicans or I vote for all Democrats. And while many of us are intoxicated by the idea of somebody who's an outsider, a newcomer, it also is sort of unreasonable to expect these outsiders and newcomers to know everything, especially when it comes to foreign policy. Most people who want to run for office to represent their state know issues that affect their state. That said, can you consider any freaking circumstance where this would be your answer to a foreign policy question?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security. I'm not that informed on national security, so.
What? Huh?
But I do support the military. My brother was in the Air Force for 33 years.
Yes!
So I will do anything I can to support the military.
I'm on board! Yes! If you don't know the answer, pivot to I support the military, and I back the blue. Next question. The question was about Taiwan. Is this a deal breaker for you? Because I suspect that at some point, are we going to have a similar gaffe with Michelle Tafoya or Peggy Flanagan? Maybe not this extreme because Tafoya is such a good communicator. I can't imagine that That would be an acceptable answer for her?
Well, to your point, there's a soundbite that Democrats are trying to jump on and say, look, this is Michelle. This is her telling the truth out loud or saying the quiet part out loud here when she clearly makes a speech error, right? Yeah. Just listen to what she said.
The last people I'm going to answer to are the Minnesotans who send me there. So let's go. Let's take our Minnesota common sense with us, and let's have some sober leadership with a spine back in the Senate.
Yeah.
So Democrats are trying to jump on that and say, see, she doesn't care about Minnesota. The last people she's going to be. Well, that's not what she meant.
And if you listen to the statement, she clearly was saying, like, it was like in her head, she was running through a checklist of like,
who am I
and
gonna,
then the last people, yeah, like these are the
final people on my list, the people that I really don't care the most about it.
It
was just awkwardly phrased by her.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between.
That's very different.
It's extraordinarily different between Michelle just saying something awkwardly and Darlene Graham saying, well, I don't really know anything about national security.
It's not my thing. It's not my thing.
Noted lefty Megyn Kelly says that's disqualifying. And I think it is.
I think it has to be.
For United States Senate, for a senator, especially when you're somebody who's only in that position because she was the brother or the sister to a guy who was a U.S. senator forever and ever, that's fine if you want to just fill out the remainder of his term. There makes a little bit of sense there. But
sure,
if you're going to run then to take that seat and hold on to that seat as an elected official, and in your first debate you say, I don't really know anything about national security, I'm sorry, that's disqualifying.
I think it's disqualifying too. 651-461-9226. She tried to clarify her statement. And this is what we're going to be hearing for the next couple of months. What she said on Hannity. I tripped up on one question last night regarding Taiwan. I don't speak politician. I was just honest. Of course, Taiwan is our friend. But I think people in South Carolina are more worried about boys and girls sports. It may be true that the average person is more worried about boys and girls sports than they are about Taiwan. But I want someone running for office who is better than me, who is more informed than me, more curious. Well, maybe not more curious than me, but like, come on. Like, is that the standard? Like, this is the United States Senate. I think it's maybe more understandable if you're running for the U.S. House, where you're representing, you know, one district in a state, but you represent the whole state as a senator for 6 years. How dare you even have the chutzpah to run for this office? To me, a reasonable answer, if you're trying to clean it up, is I just entered this realm 2 months ago. And I'll tell you what, I am working around the clock, not only to campaign, but also to get up to speed, because being a senator is not like running for student body president of a high school. It requires deep knowledge of global issues, of national issues, all from a lens right here in South Carolina. My heart, my focus is here, but my knowledge has to grow, and I'm working on it, and I'll keep working on it. And you deserve better than the answer that I gave on stage the other day. Is this why I would never get elected? Is that just too, like, she's like, I'm not, she says I don't speak politician. My God, it doesn't get more politician than pivot to trans athletes in sports. To me, this says Darlene Graham knows about like three topics. That's it. It's embarrassing. We need to demand more. And I will say this, like, and we've reached out to the Tafoya campaign many times. Hopefully we'll have Michelle on during the state fair. She came on with Chad.
Working with her scheduler on that. So,
but she's mostly been doing the I'm a podcaster, I will talk to media from my studio bit. And I don't know, maybe in our world today, that's enough. I would like to see you out there more. I want more debates. I think if you're running for Senate, not only should you have a debate, like a general debate, but I wish we had more issue-oriented debates. So, like, let's do a budget. Let's do a budgeting debate. Let's do a foreign policy debate. And then let's do a hot-button issues debate. Let's do that. Let's go a little deeper and understand, like, what do we know as far as what Peggy Flanagan feels about? Well, I don't know what Peggy Flanagan's views are on Taiwan, on China, on foreign policy. Are we ever going to get these answers? I don't know. But to say that, like, that's just not really your thing. You're not, I mean, my God. Oh, it should be your thing. We're going to break in just a minute. I want to talk about data centers. I know the polling. There's almost nothing that Democrats and Republicans, regular people, agree on, and that is a hatred of data centers. And I think it's short-sighted, and I do think there's an opportunity here. And if I were the city of St. Paul, I would be trying to get every dang data center I could right in downtown St. Paul. I'm sure you guys all think I'm nuts. I'll explain why. 651-461-9226. Drive time going hard in our last hour on this Friday on CCO.
At California Closets, we design for the little things. Take this moment of a family getting ready to leave the house.
Where's my backpack?
Mom, I need my cleats.
My wallet was right here.
If I trip over these shoes one more time.
And now, the California Closets version of that moment. Entryway and home storage solutions by designers who get you. California Closets. More room for what matters.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
St. Paul should try to get every dang data center it can. There's a real opportunity here, and I don't understand why these two cities don't just go to war. And say, well, if Minneapolis doesn't want it, I'll take it. The war on data centers, I get the fear, but I think it was in Blois's Morning Take newsletter today that talked about data centers and how quickly public opinion on it has shifted. New research. Now, a year ago, when people were asked, do you want a data center to be built near you? A year ago, the number of people who said hell no was 42%. And that's a lot, right, Dan? You're like, okay, 42% say, I don't want one of these near me. And you say, are there aren't that many things that 42% of Americans all would be universally say, like, I mean, yeah, if you're like, do you want a dump, like a garbage dump, or do you want like a polluting or, you know, smokestack?
Hey, we're going to throw an airport up next to your house.
But if you ask people like, hey, do you want something that could help like your computers run quicker and your cell, whatever, like, would you want that near you? A year ago, it was 42%. Today, 73%. I don't know that there's anything more villainized in America right now than data centers.
I heard an interesting theory from our friend Chris Saliza, and maybe we should have him on to talk about this next week. But he, the way, and I'm not sure where he, if he's drawing this from someplace or if this is his own theory, is that really what it comes down to with data centers is we're actually afraid of AI. And data centers become the physical manifestation, because AI is just a website. Nobody's mad at a website, right?
Right.
But that data centers become the physical manifestation of AI. This is a physical way for AI to intrude in our lives, as opposed to the digital way that AI intrudes in our lives. It's hard to really, you know, get your arms around that. But when the big building with no windows, with jobs to construction that go away afterwards, and then it's taken our electricity and it's taken our water, you know, that's the thing we can get our arms around and go, oh, no, that's bad. We don't like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting theory.
The reality is we use computers like crazy. We're using AI in ways. I mean, I use AI to have Google make the thumbnail image for the videos of this show that I post. I used to make it myself, although there was an AI tool in that graphic design thing that erased the background.
There are companies that are requiring employees not only to learn AI, but actually are requiring them to use AI in their day-to-day work activity and to be able to demonstrate how they're using it.
We should get something out of this. And downtown St. Paul has so much vacancy in so many buildings. And frankly, a lot of that is the fault of our own government, who didn't call people back to the office. When you're a company town and the company's the government, and the government says you all can work from home, there is a certain obligation to figure out what are you going to do to fix that void. To me, let downtown St. Paul become as many buildings that could take data centers, bring them on. There's plenty of power running to downtown St. Paul. You're not going to affect the grid. You've got Ecolab right there. Let them experiment on cooling technology. Why can't we become the headquarters of this? And you know, in Minneapolis, and right now residents are freaking out about the small portion of the old Star Tribune printing plant that is going to become a data center. It's part of a larger package. Why don't we have a good old-fashioned St. Paul versus Minneapolis scenario and have St. Paul say, you know what? Come on in. No, like, we're not building the mega thing. But, like, why not? If I were St. Paul, I'd roll out the welcome mat and say, bring me all your data centers.
Texter says, I attended a wedding event in the exurbs. On the patio, there was a very loud and constant buzzing, zapping noise from a data center 1 mile away. All the data center builders / chip builders should put up their houses up next to one as an example for all of us.
Yeah.
But that, to your point, it makes all the more sense to be using downtown office space that is sitting there empty and converting that to data center type of stuff. Because if you do have this buzzing, zapping, whatever, well, I mean, that's just part of the humdrum of downtown, right?
Right.
As opposed to putting it out in the suburbs and the exurbs, where people, you know, are building houses because they want to be away from the noise of the city. So put it in the city.
I think there should be two spots with data centers. One is downtowns. You have the infrastructure. You have less of... And the truth is people aren't coming back to the office at the rate that they once did. And so you got to figure out what to do with this space. You're not going to the cost of knocking down the buildings. But we have a 30 story building right across the street from us in downtown Minneapolis. Turn it into a data center. I don't care. It's fine. But Minneapolis is going to be a no. You know how the politics of this city. There is no way that data centers are going to have any sort of acceptance here. So if you're St. Paul, what's your lane? What is your lane to revitalize downtown to fill those jobs? I've heard two ideas. One would be becoming a haven for the defense industry. So if you tried to get government contracts and have defense contractors and maybe you offered very low rent or incentives or whatever, that would be one option. And how? What about the politics of that? Betty McCollum's been getting roasted because she is a peace nick, but she also, to me, Betty McCollum's exactly what a congressperson should be. You have your personal beliefs. My personal belief is peace, anti-war, very left-wing. And then you have your job, which is to provide for your district and get all you can. To me, St. Paul should get as many data centers as they can. And some of the rural Minnesota arguments over data center to me are ridiculous. Where if you're going to put a mega data center in the middle of nowhere, fine. Fine. What else you got? Like, let's get some jobs for the people in trades. Let's build some buildings. This stuff is going to be built. And once again, we're going to get hosed because we won't let it happen here. If we had 20 other better options, I would say, yes, do those other things. What is the better option? What do you guys have? The data center haters, what is your idea to provide growth, job, tax revenue? Now, you can, through permitting, you can build the guardrails around environmental issues, I think. One texter says maybe the idea is to have publicly owned data centers and the profits should be used to offset tax increase. I mean, essentially, the idea is that these things would offset tax increase. And you could make that as part of the negotiation. Now, I do think these data centers have some obligation, too. Data centers are promising. They're like, well, we'll give money for schools. We'll build this. We'll do that. Well, I think they should do it up front. Do it now. Build it. Don't tell me you're going to do it in 10 years. How are you supposed to convince people? Put some skin in the game. Start doing it now. I think that would go a long way. The water usage question is out there. It's valid. But I think let's be the leader in figuring it out. If all you do is say no, then you're never going to figure it out, and you sure as hell aren't going to do it here. Let's break. Dan Hayes in a minute. Twins. I'm asking Dan about Joe Ryan's injury, and I'm asking Dan about whether the Twins have a real shot to actually win the division. Keep it here.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Hayes is with us, the Minnesota Twins, with a late night West Coast game tonight. No ownership change for the Twins today. How about that bombshell today, Dan, with the change at the Timberwolves?
I mean, A-Rod just wants he wants to upstage the Twins, I think. That's got to be it, right? The third place wild card, 63 and 65 Twins, getting a little too much pub for A-Rod.
For sure. Too much attention. Didn't want Lori taking that courtside. Maybe that courtside seat opens up for me now. You know, it's been a rough patch for me as far as sitting courtside. Same with you. I haven't seen you courtside down there.
Well, you know, since I got glued to the courts that one time, they haven't really
That's
let me
right.
back.
Yes. So. All right, Dan Hayes, we're talking Twins. What a turn in a week. Things were looking dire as a Twins fan. Dan, I was feeling like maybe we're done. Maybe this is the end of it. And then to sweep the Braves, I mean, I don't even think the Twins saw that coming.
No, I don't think they did either. But, you know, it's funny, after the game Sunday, Josh Bell stood there and said that all they were looking for is a spark, and they knew that's all they needed was a spark. And then, of course, Josh Bell was the change he wanted to see in yes. the Twins world, and just went off. Like, home run, the two home runs Tuesday, but he had the big bases loaded double Monday night, give him a first inning lead, and then, you know, had the hustle double on Wednesday, that after they gave that lead back. And I thought that was a true test kind of moment for the Twins, especially after Sunday. You know, I'm sure people were thinking, man, they blew that 5-run lead Sunday. Yeah. And here they were up 4-1 and they blow the lead on Wednesday. And they fought back and they won. And they put away a very good team. I do think the Phillies are better. I mean, I'm obviously, you think about it. I mean, when you see the Phillies and they sweep the Twins and the Twins sweep the Braves, it can have an effect on your opinion, but I just think the Phillies are probably the better team, but it doesn't matter. The Twins beat a very good team. They swept them. And the Braves went to Chicago yesterday on a makeup and beat the White Sox 2-0. So it was a very fortuitous 4 days. If you were looking at it from the Twins' perspective, I think you'd want to beat them 3 times and then have them beat your division leader the next day. It worked out well. There's no way you could have seen it coming. I think that's how you feel about most of the season. And I recognize we're talking about a mediocre 63 and 65 team, but it's still been a very entertaining season. And here they are, you know, in the playoff chase with 34 games to go.
And realistically, and I want to get back to Josh Bell in just a minute, because you wrote a really interesting piece earlier this week about his off the field and on the field impact on the Twins. But realistically, as a Twins fan, I don't know that it's productive to be overly focused on the wild card race. This team is in it for the divisional race, and that's got to be the goal at this point, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely it is. And it's still definitely within reach. Look, the White Sox are just as unproven, if not more. There are guys on this Twins team that were around, only a few of them, but there were our guys on this Twins team that were around in 2023 when they won the division. The White Sox, they're used to losing 100 games. Was it two or is it 3 seasons in a row? Yeah. I can't remember, but it was like, this is a very fired up young White Sox team, and I do think that Murakami in the middle of the lineup, they have a very dangerous lineup. But I do think they are susceptible, just because I don't think they have great pitching. The Twins did a very good job stabilizing the bullpen. That's going to help them. They can shorten games to 4, you know, 5 innings at this point with the bullpen, because I think by adding in the guys they did, the 3 that they acquired, Nance, Minter, and Hoffman, what they did was they slid like the Travis Adams and the Cody Funderburks down to being the 7th and 8th guys in this bullpen, and Taylor Rogers. You know, when you look at that, like, that's where those guys should have started the season. And I think there's big things ahead for Cody Funderburk, and I like what I've seen from Travis Adams, but they're inexperienced, and you want them to be in the roles like that. And I really like how the Twins bullpen is looking right now, just because there's so much more depth to it, and it shortens games. So if the Twins have a lead after 5, they have to feel good about their chances. And I don't think the White Sox have that same feeling. But the White Sox are dangerous. Obviously, they're in the spot they're in for a reason. They're a good team.
Yep.
It's just sometimes young teams get, you know, young teams feel that pressure sometimes. So it will definitely be, you should be looking at the Central, and that would be great. Really, though, the Twins just have to focus on playing good, sustainable baseball. And you know, that's the focus. and good things happen off of that.
Dan Hayes is with us. You can read him at The Athletic. You know, what? Not to get too Pollyanna-ish about this, because we've talked all season about how this is a 500 team, and they do 500 team stuff, right? Which is they reel you in, and then they break your heart, and then they reel you back in. That's what a 500 team does. That said, the American League in general is sort of a 500 league. And if you could get into the playoffs, I don't know, man, like anything could, and usually anything could happen doesn't really happen. But with the AL this year, I don't know. I feel like once you get in, then it all sort of starts from scratch at that point.
Well, it's clear that the NL is the dominant league and has probably four teams that are just true title contenders, whether it's the Cubs, the Brewers, the Phillies, and the Dodgers. You know, and I guess we can keep Atlanta in there because they do have very good pitching, and their lineup is probably more potent than we saw while they were here. But I'm not sure about that lineup. But, you know, you look at that. There's those teams there. It's hard to define who is the American League's runaway leader right now. Is Tampa Bay for real? I don't know. The Red Sox got really hot, and the Red Sox can be very, very good. But obviously, it took them a while to get going, and they were flawed early on. So is this for real, the 32-5 run that they had? Probably not that good. But I guess maybe they are the team that could be considered the best in the American League. And, you know, they're still in the wild card run right now. That they're not in first place. The Yankees, who knows what their health is going to look like. You know, I'm hoping like that, you know, for them, you know, you wonder when Judge is coming back. You wonder if Stanton is going to come back. It's crazy to think the Yankees are as beat up as they are, and they've still hung in there. But I mean, yeah, it's a weird league, and you know, anything can happen. The Twins need to get Joe Ryan back and healthy. They need Byron Buxton to be healthy. Then we could talk about these things for real. But those are huge developments that need to happen.
Let's talk about Joe Ryan, because you wrote about some optimism based on the bullpen that he threw the other day. What do we know about Joe here Friday afternoon?
Yeah, I would imagine there's a bullpen scheduled for this weekend in San Diego. Have some more info on that in a couple hours. But it was just a good first session for him going on, you know, thrown off the mound after going on the IL on, I think it was August 6th they went on the IL.
Retroactive, 25 right? Pitches. That's sort of how they
right,
did,
yeah, right, correct, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 25 pitches, all fastballs, all sinkers. That's the most basic one you can get. But going from flat ground to the mound is a huge step. And between Pete Mackey, their pitching coach, and Derek Shelton, they were really encouraged. Joe Ryan did call it a big step forward. He also still sort of hemmed and hawed with some of his answers, which makes you think maybe he's not totally convinced. Think, you know, they are probably pointing out how good it looked just to make him realize.
Help him.
You know, I know you might not feel it the whole way, but it looks great, man. Keep going, you know, and what the next step is, it's probably a little bit longer bullpen with off-speed mixed in. And then we should have a clearer plan after that. I don't know what it looks like. He has kept his arm going the whole time, which is a good thing. He has not stopped. He did not have a shutdown. He's physically, you know, tried to stay in shape. So does that reduce the amount of time when he finally feels like he is ready to go? Possibly. But I truly think this is he convinced he's good enough to be out there versus is he, you know, I think that's a big thing here is like, is there enough good feeling in his body that the mechanics can be good enough that he can be effective in the majors and not the guy that gave up, you know, 7 home runs in 15 innings and 25 base hits?
You wrote about Josh Bell and the impact he's had. How significant has he been in the clubhouse and as a stabilizing presence for this team?
I mean, it's hard not to like see a dude that's that physically big of a human being. you know, he's just
so big.
He is. And he's like that gentle giant. Like he's always smiling. He's always calm. He always has a good word. He's upbeat. And he's not like he's probably one of the smartest guys in the clubhouse too. Like without question. I mean, he wrote a children's book last year. Like, this is a very good human being to have around. And you can tell that he is feeling great because he's enjoying playing for this team. And that's been clear since the start. We've talked about that multiple times. I think it's coming across in his production because he's having a very solid to above average season. His OPS plus is like 110 right now, which is good. And, you know, like, he's driving in runs. He's a very streaky hitter. Fortunately for them, he's on a good streak right now. And they need that until Byron Buxton really gets going and picks it up again.
Twins and San Diego tonight. And then it's off against the Athletics until we come back this series next week against the White Sox. I've got that circled on my calendar. I know a lot of people will be thinking about the start of the State Fair, but that is really the start of the playoff. Super meaningful games, right? Next Friday.
Absolutely. And if the Twins can somehow come out of this road trip at 500 or better, you know, get one in San Diego, because San Diego is lethal and it's going to be a packed house all 3 days. Get one here, if not two, and then get two in Sacramento at least against the A's, who are stumbling and bumbling, but, you know, they have some lefties, and we know the Twins run into lefties and have issues. But get 500, stay stable, and come home and take care of business against the division.
Pretty good. All right. Have a good weekend. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Dan Hayes, read him at The Athletic, part of the New York Times and theathletic.com. Drive Time back on this Friday afternoon, Friday evening in just a minute.
Couple of restaurants closed suddenly today. Bar Brava in North Minneapolis and The Gnome in St. Paul. You know, whatever restaurants close, people want to project their own personal politics on the situation. And I would just say, 99% of you commenting on these two restaurants closing have no freaking idea what you're talking about. Don't let that stop you, but you don't know what you're talking about. Now, is it hard to run a restaurant in Minneapolis and St. Paul? Yeah. Is minimum wage higher? Yeah, I've written about it. It's a significant factor. Crime, does that impact things? Sure. But there are also hundreds of restaurants doing well. Bar Brava closed because the owner waded into a borderline racist social media commentary and the whole kitchen quit. And then it's Minneapolis. Okay. What do you think your customers are going to do? It was a dumb move. The Gnome is a 120-year-old building that Brian Ingram said had tons of repairs to be done. He couldn't afford it. You either believe the owner or you don't. I don't know. But whatever your personal politics are, I mean, make it up. I don't want to stop you, but just know. If you want to find someone to trust, go to ContinentalDiamond.com. Henry's next.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.